Welcome to our service here at Castlefields Church. On the church website, you'll see on the notes page on the front that there are some hymns for you to sing or to read through today, both for the service this morning and this evening as well. There's also some children's worksheets there for the children to do in the services. Today we're just going to pause in our series in the Book of Acts, which we've entitled Mission Unstoppable. We've just completed a little mini-series on surprising conversions in chapters 8 and 9. They're on the website for you to listen to. Tomorrow evening, there is going to be a church members meeting at Castlefields Church, and normally I would give a short devotional message at that time. But this message this morning as part of this service serves to do that for our members. But it's also relevant to you if you're listening in whatever circumstances you are. We're going to consider this morning six essentials for lockdown and beyond. Please sing the first hymn, Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of Creation. And then I'm going to pray and read our passage before we look at it together this morning. Let's pray. Lord, we come with the words of this great and glorious hymn in our minds to remind ourselves that we are to praise, to bring praise to the Lord, who is the Almighty God, the King of creation, and to say to our souls, oh, my soul, praise him, for he is your health and your salvation. Lord, we have so much this morning to come to praise you for and to sing about. We thank you, Lord, for who you are, for being our great God and our Saviour. And again, week by week, in these strange days in which we live, Lord, we are cast upon you. And we come Sunday by Sunday rejoicing that there is a day set apart so that we might particularly think upon you, our God, and open your word and hear what it says to us, to rejoice in your attributes, your love and your grace and your mercy, as well as your justice and your holiness and those things, Lord, which are each one perfect, that describe our God. Lord, we pray that we may this morning on this Lord's Day, once again, in opening your word, hear your voice speaking to us. Lord, you have ordained that it is through the preaching of your word that in our day the word is opened and explained. But it is the perfection and the wonder of your word itself that is our joy and our delight, that it speaks to us in every situation. We think of the book of Psalms, that book of songs of praise and worship, and yet the psalmist often cast down and seeking you. How much we can learn, how much we learn from the books of history of the Old Testament, your dealings with your people in all their ups and downs. And Lord, those wonderful letters of the Apostle Paul, and above all things, the Gospels of the Lord Jesus that show us our Saviour going about doing good. We see him in his birth, in his perfect life, in his death upon the cross. We read of his wonderful resurrection and his ascension, and how we thank you, Lord, for these things. Please, we pray, be with your people today all around this world, especially those we think of who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. And we pray, Lord God, that you would bless your church and increase your church in these days. May the gospel have free course. May people on the internet find that there are things that they've not heard before. Truth about the Lord Jesus Christ, the way of salvation laid out for them, so that many might come to salvation in these days, and that we might give to you all the praise and all the glory. We pray for those who mourn, for those who are sad, for those who are going through really difficult times because of coronavirus and and other circumstances in their lives. Please help and be with them, Lord, we pray. We lift them up to you. And bless our church, we pray, here at Castlefields. We thank you for our gathering together, for your providence in bringing us all together to serve you here. And bless those who listen in from maybe far off places across the world. How we rejoice that that is the case. And we pray that there may be that oneness and unity in the things of God, in the Lord Jesus Christ, in these days. Please forgive us our sins, Lord, and restore us where that is needed. And lead us on to know you more. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please turn with me then this morning to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'm going to read from verse 6 to verse 18. This is Paul's last letter that is recorded for us, and he's writing it from prison in Rome. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica, Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. Antichicus I have sent to Ephesus. Bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. At my first defence, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory for ever and ever. Amen. Now, lockdown, that's a term that only a matter of weeks ago we would not have hardly used at all, would we? And that term, alongside the term unprecedented, it's now a daily and familiar match, isn't it? We hear it so much on the news and read it on the internet and so on. And the big question we've all had to answer over these last 10 weeks or so is, how do we go about life during an unprecedented lockdown? Well, as Christians, of course, we ask that question and we have the answer. That's the help and experience of many of God's people in unprecedented lockdowns as recorded in Scripture. And you know, it's quite remarkable because as we go through Scripture, there have been quite a number of those times. God has not left us without help in the sort of days that we're going through. Sometimes many of God's people have been locked down for many years. If you compare Exodus chapter 1, verse 8, and Exodus 12, and verse 31 and following, all that is the time from when Pharaoh arose in Egypt, who didn't know anything about Joseph, and the people of the Hebrews were trapped, locked down there in Egypt until at least 600,000 of them were able to leave. That's a lockdown of about 200 years. Later on in the scriptures, in the Old Testament, we read about the Babylonian lockdown, 70 years before we read of almost 50,000 returning to Jerusalem. Well, sometimes the lockdown has been experienced individually and for a relatively short time. Think about Joseph. He was locked down in prison in Egypt for 2 years. A little shorter time than that was Jonah. He was in an amazing lockdown, wasn't he, for 3 days and nights in the belly of the fish. And then in the New Testament, we'll mention it later, Paul and Silas, just for a night, locked down in the jail in Philippi. You see, there's so much we can learn from all of those instances, and there are more too, and I'm sure you can think of some. But I want to draw your attention this morning to the lockdown that Paul was experiencing in the passage that we read together in 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 to 18. Taking the opportunity of his letter to Timothy, in verse 13, Paul lists three essentials that he thinks will help him practically during the rest of his unprecedented lockdown, and he had no idea how long it would last. Can you see them there in verse 13? A cloak to keep him warm, presumably as the winter approached. Books that he might read. Of course, they were in the form of a scroll. And parchment that he might write. Now, I think other things were obviously to be desired. He wants Mark to come if he can to help him. But these were essentials. As Christians and as a church, we might have lots of things that we might desire for these times and as we come out of lockdown. But what things are essential? What things must we get right individually and together as a church? I think that's an answer, a question which we need to answer just now. And I want to suggest to you six things. So if you're a member of the church here at Castlefields, this is really preparing for our members' meeting tomorrow evening. But it's equally true if you're a member of another church and listening in to us wherever you are. And I hope these things will be helpful to you. Here we go then. Number one, the first necessity is a right perspective of the big picture. A right perspective of the big picture. Paul has been in lockdown in Rome for some time, and in a slightly different way before this, the time which we're reading of. At the end of Acts, if you have a look at Acts 28, right at the very end of that chapter, you'll find that there he's in his own hired house, although he's under sort of house arrest. It wasn't quite freedom, but it certainly wasn't anything like it is now. So in verse 6 of our chapter, you can see that he believes that the end is probably very near. This was very, very serious. When you read verses 10 to 16, you'll find that all around him, familiar things are changing and crumbling. And it's the same for us, isn't it? Some things have frustrated us, some things have restricted us in the past, but not like this, not like this lockdown. Some things that were so familiar have gone, and maybe they've gone forever. And this could throw us right off track if we're not careful. This lockdown that we're going through, even still now, it could cause some of us to really falter in our service in the church and maybe even give up. It could shake our faith to the core. So it's essential. It's essential to note the bigger picture. Look at verse 17. To note that, like with Paul, the Lord stands with us to deliver and strengthen us. And Paul sees in verse 18 that the Lord has an ultimate purpose and plan to bring about his heavenly kingdom and to bring Paul into it. And all of it is for his glory, and it's forever and ever, he says. Amen. And we must remember that in the big picture, what we've been thinking about in the book of Acts, Mission Unstoppable, it will go on. It's essential that we have a right perspective at this time. And sometimes we need to be reminded, don't we, to lift our eyes from our personal circumstances. And that is what Paul is doing here. His personal circumstances are very real, aren't they? This chapter really shows us that. He was in chains. He was in a Roman prison. A cold winter was coming. He needed a cloak. He had very few visitors, he tells us. And at his first trial, nobody stood with him, and probably it was going to be death and execution at his next trial. Well, for us, it's not those things, but There are things, aren't they, like the missing physical presence of family and friends. We miss Christian fellowship together in our church building and in our homes. We miss serving the Lord in the ways that are so precious and familiar, going out into the open air, in the square, behind the church, Sunday school, school assemblies, all these things. And personally, we have the worries, don't we, of family and finances and jobs and so on. You know, in the Old Testament, the prophet Habakkuk, he went through times of tremendous turmoil and tumultuous times, and he had many questions for God. But he is told to go and stand in his watchtower. And in Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 14, he is told there that there will be a working out of God's purposes. There's a hymn that's based on that verse. It goes like this. God is working his purpose out as year succeeds to year. God is working his purpose out, and the time is drawing near. Nearer and nearer draws the time that shall surely be, when the earth shall be filled with the glory of God, as the waters cover the sea. Habakkuk had to look at the big picture, because the small picture overwhelmed him. His personal circumstances were too much. And maybe that's like us today. What about us personally? What's the big picture for us? Well, we heard wonderfully on Wednesday at our Bible study in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verses 23 and 24 that God is working his purposes out in sanctifying us. And he is doing it. He will do it. Essential number two. A right love for the local church. Well, of course, by that we mean Castlefields Church. If you're listening in, I mean for your church. A right love for the local church. For this is where his providence has brought us. God has placed us together, brought us together. The majority of us listening today will be from the church at Castlefields. And we just wonder, don't we, at how God has brought us in so many different ways to this time and this place. And you and I make up the representation of Christ's body, members together of his church. And we have to remember that. We're not part of lots of different churches. You see, there's the great temptation at the moment, isn't there? When church is not normal and we're not turning up at 10:30 and 6 o'clock in the building, there's a great temptation to go church hopping. Dropping into a service here and a service there on YouTube or on a church website somewhere. Listening into world-renowned preachers and singing along to professional quality musicians and marvelling at the capacity that some churches have to live stream and put fancy graphics on and to look cool in lockdown. And then comparing all that to Castlefields so that you become dissatisfied. And maybe critical, maybe resentful that we can't do that, and a bit picky. And perhaps we treat our own church as poor relation, and at best just one rather ordinary sweet in a bag of church goodies that are on offer. Now, there's nothing wrong, of course, than using the internet and finding out good ministry and great helps. But lockdown is and has been a test of your love and my love for those God who has given us to love in the local church which he's called us to. We had a wonderful time on our church autumn holiday last year looking at Romans chapter 12, and it's well worth going back there and reading that chapter and seeing what it is to be part of a church, the Lord Jesus being the head, and each one of us part of the body. There's a love test here, isn't there, in lockdown? A right love for the church. Well, there was a love test going on here, wasn't there, for Paul? How sad to read about Alexander and Demas. They failed the love test, as far as Paul is concerned, didn't they? Sad to hear of such men. Don't fail the love test concerning your brothers and sisters in the church where God has placed you in lockdown. It makes me very sad that there are Christians who wander around from church to church, and today they're floundering because they don't have that community to relate to. Another pastor said to me just recently, he said, "We're learning, aren't we, how precious community is." And I agree with him. But in our church here, we're so encouraged that tomorrow evening at our church members meeting, we'll be reviewing 3 new membership applications. That is just so lovely, and we thank God for it. This letter was written by Paul to Timothy, and there are many injunctions to him. Chapter 1, verse 13, hold fast. Chapter 2, verse 1, be strong. Chapter 4, verse 2, preach the word. Paul's in lockdown, and he's saying to Timothy, hold on, Timothy. Stay on course. Be strong. Stay with those things that are basic and necessary in the church. I think that's a word to us. Essential number 3. A right involvement in service for the Lord. A right involvement in service for the Lord. Look at Paul in lockdown in the verses that we read and think about him. Paul was a man who travelled thousands of miles for the gospel, ventured in amazing ways, preached to thousands of people, pastored, taught, mentored, visited many, many. A man of massive ability and extensive usefulness. And now where is he? He's locked down. He tells us in verses 6 and 7, he's being poured out. His end is near. Verse 8, there's a finally here. But wait a minute. Our verse is verse 13. What is on his essential list? Can you see? Yes, the cloak, of course, to keep warm. But books. He wants to learn more. He wants to know more. He wants to read more. And especially, he says, the parchments. He wants to write more. He wants to serve more. He wants to write other epistles like this one, which he has written to Timothy. And he wants Mark to come and help him because there's work to be done. You see, there is a danger in lockdown that we cease to serve. You know, our Saviour has never ceased to serve us. We must never cease to serve him. If we cease to serve him in lockdown, we're going to come out empty. Don't let the devil tell you that you can't do anything at the moment. Don't let him tell you that it's not worth knowing more or understanding more or growing more. Paul didn't see it that way, did he? Paul couldn't travel, he couldn't preach, he couldn't teach in the way that he'd done before, he couldn't visit others, but he could read, he could study, and he could write. And what an incredibly encouraging letter he has just written, coming to the close of, to Timothy. It's brimful of everything that will be helpful and a blessing and warnings to Timothy. And of course, it's here for us today. Aren't we glad that Paul did not give up in lockdown, but pressed on to serve? There have been encouragements, haven't there, that we've heard about as Christians venturing in lockdown? That pastor in Cheltenham who could no longer do what he did before. But he went to Aldi to do some shopping, and he noticed there's a lovely box that could be used for display. And he asked, could he have it? Yes, they said. He brought it home. He got some Bibles and some tracts, and he put it on his garden wall with a sign, Hope in a Time of Crisis. And so began Bible boxes. And people all around the country, Christians all around the country, are putting Bible boxes where people can take the Word of God. And we've been so struck, haven't we, in Acts chapter 8, about Philip. How Philip came alongside the chariot. You see, he was in Samaria preaching to many, seeing tremendous success, and all of a sudden he's locked down to a journey right down to a desert road in the middle of nowhere. But God has purposes in those things. And we were thinking, weren't we, who can we come alongside like he did? Who can we ask, do you understand what you're reading? Can we write a letter? Can we give a book? Can we phone a friend? Paul said to Timothy, send the books and the parchments. I'm not done yet. And you know, in a practical way, as lockdown frees up, there will be particular needs for service in these coming days, different needs to perhaps those we've had before. In many churches, the need will be for technical people, for IT people, for communications people, for those who have a passion for children and young people who can engage with them through media and so on. People gifted for lockdown and beyond. Maybe you felt that your gifts you've not been able to use in the church. Well, maybe now is the time. Services in the future will need filming. They'll need streaming. They'll need putting on the website. They'll need recording. They'll need YouTubing. Testimonies will need writing. Resources will need delivering. We need to ask, what can I do to serve? Serve him now in lockdown, and we'll serve him well when lockdown ends. Essential number four, a right awareness of the dangers around us. A right awareness of the dangers around us. There are specific trials and temptations and pitfalls and troubles in every season in the Christian life and in the church. Times of prosperity, times of adversity, times of loss and bereavement, times of joy and excitement. In every time come trials and temptations and pitfalls and troubles. And we have discovered, haven't we, that there are particular things in lockdown. Again, just think of our verse, verse 13, in its context. Just dwell on it for a moment. How down and depressed Paul could have become. How resentful. After all he'd done for God, how doubting of the Lord's goodness. How sad about Demas, just deserting him. How mad he was, possibly, about Alexander in verse 14. How lonely. Only Luke was able to visit him. And no one stood up for him in the courtroom at his first trial, he tells us in verse 16. How just thoroughly fed up Paul could have felt. Look what it's come to. Nothing but an old cloak, a few books and some writing paper. And I don't know, did he forget to ask for a pen as well? He had been looked up to by so many. When he was in Ephesus, he was even worshipped as a god. He'd performed miracles with the aid of the Holy Spirit. He'd spoken to philosophers in Athens. He'd debated with scholars. He'd given his testimony in front of a king. And now he could say this. What's the point? I wonder, are you in there somewhere? Down and depressed, resentful, doubting, sad, mad, lonely, thoroughly fed up? What's the point? You see, there are peculiar trials and temptations in lockdown, and we need to watch out for them. We need to go back to what it says in Hebrews 12, where again we've been so helpfully reminded just recently in the series in Hebrews that we are to lay aside, to cast off those things which hold us back, that easily beset us. We notice the things that lockdown brings. They are in our hearts and lives, aren't they? Examine ourselves as we just go through this list. Selfishness, just looking out for me. Idleness. For some, you've been idle. Burnout for others. you know, that's not right, is it? Balance has gone somewhere. Introspection, just feeling sorry for ourselves. Doubt and anxiety, doubting that God can be in this. Fear of the future. Boredom for some, where others are being overwhelmed. Wasting precious time. For some of us, this time has made us hard-hearted. We could become hard-hearted towards the government. But we can also become hard-hearted towards our wife and our children. We hear about domestic violence, don't we, in the homes of unbelievers, but what about our Christian homes? We can be hard-hearted towards our church leaders and hard-hearted even towards God. We can be moody and churlish over small things. Has lockdown made you hard to live with? Children? Fathers? Mothers? What about internet sinfulness? The internet is a world of sin. What about TV binging? Wasteful rubbish going into your mind. What about Xbox gaming, young ones? Excessiveness on things that aren't going to help us in any way. What about the Lord's Day? Look up Isaiah 58 and read verses 13 and 14. I know it's set in the Old Testament and we must remember that context, but there's something about those verses that tells us this, that if we just treat the Lord's Day as any old day and we just do what we want to on his day, we're going to miss the blessing. And it tells us that there's tremendous blessing of the Lord's Day. It tells us that in Isaiah 58 verse 14. So be careful with the Lord's Day. Don't miss out in coming to church. Coming at 10:30, coming at 6 o'clock, being disciplined, bringing your family around the throne of grace, around the recording. There's something very intense, isn't there, in this not being videoed. It's audio, and therefore we listen that much more carefully. Our eyes are on the scriptures in front of us. There's nothing to distract us. You know, someone recently pointed out to me in a conversation how relevant C.S. Lewis's book is, Screwtape Letters. You may know about that book. It's letters of a senior devil to a junior devil. Quite remarkable book, really, although it's outdated in many ways in terms of its historical context. But there, the senior devil extols the virtue to the junior devil of wearing the Christian down. Attrition. And lockdown is wearing, isn't it? It wears us down, and the devil wants to wear us down spiritually. 1 Peter 5, verse 8, be watchful, for your adversary, the devil, is seeking who he can devour. He wants to devour you with lockdown temptations. He wants to wear you down through lockdown trials. And we must think carefully about those things. Paul, there was so much could have worn Paul down, could have brought him down into the very depths. But he looks to the Lord, and we must do that too. Ask him to make this time a profit and not a loss. May we look back on lockdown time and say, you know, we profited from that. Here's number five, essential number five. A right balance of praise and worship. I suppose this follows on from our previous point, a right balance of praise and worship. We reflect on the fact that when Paul and Silas with him, they were in prison in Philippi, Acts chapter 16 and verse 25. In the inner prison, we're told, what were they doing? Two things. They were praying and they were singing hymns. They were singing praise to God. Now, times of lockdown are very difficult for many different reasons. There are extremes in our experience in the church. There are some with very little to do to occupy their time, and there are some with so much to do there seems to be no time at all. and all of us are somewhere in between those two extremes. And we are looking forward to being free, aren't we? And our attitude could be, you know, when we're free of lockdown, then we'll sing. But wait a minute, is that right? Should we not sing now? You see, lockdown can bring deep sadness and loneliness and longing. If you turn to Psalm 137, I'm just so struck by this psalm. It was written about the time when the people of God were in captivity in Babylon. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down and there we wept. And in verse 4 it tells us, how can we sing? How can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? How can we sing? Well, we wonder, don't we, with a lot that's happening, how can we sing? Look how Paul starts off this letter that we're thinking about our text in. In chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, Paul says to Timothy, I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience as my forefathers did, as without ceasing. I remember you in my prayers day and night, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. We all want to be filled with joy, don't we? Paul was looking forward to Timothy visiting him. It would fill him with joy, and he knew that Timothy had shed tears over the situation. Now, one of our dangers is that we can wrongly long a lot and hope a lot and cry tears a lot, but forget to praise and worship and thank God a lot for all his mercies to us. And we sort of say, how can we sing? We're in this strange land of lockdown. But let's remind ourselves that God has not changed. His attributes are immutable, unchanging, always the same. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Our salvation has not changed one jot. Our hope is still the same. Our justification is secure. We are declared righteous before God. And he has taken our sins, all of them, upon him. Things have not changed. Every Christian needs to sing now in lockdown. I love the last psalms, the last psalms in the book of Psalms. Look at Psalm 147, verse 1. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant and praises beautiful. The old authorized version says comely. It means beautiful. Now there's so much that's horrible and fearful and terrible about this virus. We've been watching on News at 10, Clive Myrie going into the coronavirus ward of the hospital in London, and it's just fearful. It's horrible. It is really. But praise is beautiful. And if we are going to bring a beauty into our lives and into our family and into our souls, then praise is that beauty, to remind ourselves of the goodness and greatness and glory and wonder of God and the beauty and the loveliness of our Saviour. Then we must praise. You know that psalm, Psalm 147, all around it, all the psalms begin and end with praise. Praise the Lord. Psalm 146 lists 12 reasons to praise God. And in verse 2, it says this, while I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Now, you and I have our being. We are alive. Praise God for that. Though some are sad and have lost loved ones. But while we have our being, the psalmist says, praise. I have the privilege of living with somebody who's a very, very competent pianist, and we can sing together. You may not have that advantage, but you've got the greatest resource that the world has ever known of hymns and Christian songs on the internet. So whether you prefer metrical psalms or Watts, Wesley, Newton, or the Gettys, Townend, City of Light, Peterson, it doesn't matter. Put them on and sing, and it will do your heart good. It will put the balance back into the stressful time in which we're in. It'll bring us out of lockdown praising God. It will fill our minds with good things. And I think, you know, you need to do this because for many, many months to come, we're not going to be able to sing. I don't know whether you realise that, but in Germany, singing in church is banned. It probably will be here too. The transmission of the virus is just by singing. It will happen. And so therefore, we won't be able to sing when we're together. So please, sing alone, sing at home. Here's number six. Our time's really gone. A right dependence upon the Lord. A right dependence upon the Lord, verses 16 and 17. How very alone Paul felt. How very dependent upon God. And for all of us in these times, I'm sure we felt the same. We have leaned hard on God and asked him for strength. We were really helpfully reminded of this last Sunday evening as we were taken to the prayer of King Asa in 2 Chronicles 14, and we sang these words: we rest on thee, our shield and our defender. We go in faith, our own great weakness, and needing more each day your grace to know. Now we look forward to the end of lockdown and normal life, whatever that will look like, but we mustn't lose that sense of dependence now, because there still will be difficult days that lie ahead. In this city and in this church, we're going to experience the deep trial of job losses and a deep recession and social problems and the mental scars of lockdown and troubles maybe for years to come. We may well have to dig deep and share resources with others. There are those who are earning and not spending, and money is piling up, and soon there will be those who will be unemployed and money will be running out. We will need to be an Acts chapter 2 church, helping one another. And we're going to be faced with, how do we do church? Our folk know our building, of course, and if you've not been to Castlefields Church, well, we get about 80 to 90 people on a Sunday, and our building in lockdown, when we're self-distanced, will only hold about 20 people. How are we going to worship? How are we going to grow together? How are we going to serve together? How are we going to do church? You know, recently I attended a Zoom fraternal meeting with other pastors, and we were talking about these things and sharing them together, and we were asking each other, well, how are we going to hold services? How are we going to do the Lord's table? How will we baptize new believers? How will we run young people's programs? And how we will do our summer evangelism and so on? And how will we do our church holiday? So much. Well, at the end, we prayed together. And I have never before experienced such a time where experienced pastors and leaders from churches, both large and small, were totally cast on God. Prayers like this: Lord, we have no idea how we're going to do this. Nothing will look normal. Nothing can look normal for a long time. And Lord, we do not know what to do for the way ahead. As we prayed as pastors and church leaders, we all of us need to pray, because none of us really know how we're going to work this out. But we do know this, don't we? In this passage, Paul testifies that the Lord stood with him to strengthen him and help him. And in verse 17 too, Paul tells us his wonderful truth, that the gospel was preached and heard by the Gentiles, that in the things that were happening, the gospel was still going out. We're reminded of that, aren't we, in Philippians chapter 1, where Paul says, you know, the things that have happened to me, they've fallen out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that even in Caesar's palace, the guards are hearing the gospel. We need to hold on, friends, to to the Lord and trust him that he would, as Paul says in verse 18, deliver us. That word is the word rescue. Gives us the impression of the lifeguard diving in to pull us ashore. We all need God to help us to do that, to rescue us, to pull us, to put us on solid ground. And he said, preserve, that's keep, protect the church. Well, Paul was confident what was going to happen in the end, isn't he? In verse 18, he says, the Lord will preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. We need to lean hard upon the God who has promised that for us. Now, we may not be going to heaven just yet. Paul perhaps went to heaven not very long after writing this letter. It may be there's years yet. We don't know. But in lockdown now and beyond, it is essential that we lean upon the Lord, that each one of us are people of prayer, that we commit to the Lord our present circumstances and ask him to lead us on through them and out of them. I'm conscious there's a lot of material in this message and notes of what we've said. The headings in particular, we'll be heading out on an email after the service this morning to all our regulars, and we can put them on the website for others to read as well. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for this very real situation in which Paul was in. And we thank you, Lord, for this very lovely verse, this verse we've considered, where Paul asks for things which he considers to be essential so that he might continue to serve you and do what he can. And Lord, we pray that we might want to do that and that you will preserve and keep us, Lord. We know we are going to your heavenly kingdom. Indeed, we are part of it already. So we ask, Lord, that in these days and as we come out of them and into a new normal, that you would make us, Lord, to see the things that are essential for us in our homes, in our families, in our personal lives, and in our church. We commit it all to you now and our meeting tomorrow as members of the church at Castlefields. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, maybe you'd like to finish the service by singing that last hymn. It's so very apt. Through all the changing scenes of life, in trouble and in joy, the praises of my God shall still my heart and tongue employ.